Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I'm your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and here at Growing Leaders, our mission is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Tim, I think we've got an important conversation today.
Yeah, we absolutely do. It's been the most sobering news story of late.
Yeah,
so
it really has, but I think one of the things that you've tapped into, as you often do, is you see in the news, and a lot of people see in the news, they see a news story, but what you see is a trend,
something that
we can all learn from. And so we're going to get to that in just a minute. But one of the things we were talking about is this trend itself of parenting and how it's shifting today. And I know you've seen that in so many ways.
No doubt about it. As I parented my own two kids, who are both grown adults now, over the last 10 to 15 years, I've just noticed the gauge for which we measure success and successful parenting is different now than it was when I was a kid.
Mm.
When I was a kid, the entire neighborhood raised me. Neighbors would correct me, tell my mom what I'd just done, that sort of thing. Well, now it's like we're competing against each other.
Yeah.
And so this struck me. This would have been at least a decade ago. My son, Jonathan, was a part of a theater arts competition here in Atlanta. And he said at the end of it, he said, "Dad, you will not believe what happened." And I said, "Well, tell me." And he said, "Well, first of all, every child that walked through the door to compete in this singing, dancing, and acting competition got a gold medal hung around their neck."
Before they had done anything.
Before they'd done it, just walk through the door, breathe the air, here's a gold medal. So that says something, okay, just for participation. And then before the competition began, they announced to all the kids, "Now, here are the levels of medals you're going to be earning today as you sing and dance and act. Gold, high gold, platinum."
So bronze and silver are out.
That's right. Gold is as low as you go. If you get a gold medal, that's as low as you go, but you got a gold medal.
It's so crazy to me.
Well, and to top it all off, at the very end, the host of the competition got up and said, "Moms and dads, thank you for coming today. If your child did not win the award you wanted him to win, they're on sale out in the lobby."
Oh, my God.
They sold
goodness.
Trophies and medals. So I'm thinking, our thinking now is just buy, if you can do it, buy your way into whatever you want rather than truly earning it. And this has happened, of course, with college entrance exams.
Absolutely. So. Well, and one of the things we're going to get to is we think that we're giving our kids a leg up when we do that. And one of the things that you've realized is that's not actually true. And I'm excited about getting to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the issue that we're talking about today, what this, instead of gold, high gold, platinum, we're talking about this college entrance scandal where celebrities, CEOs, major people with a lot of money are basically have bought college admission for their kids.
Yeah. As of this recording, at least 50 people have been indicted, including, you mentioned Hollywood actresses, Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin. It's called a scandal, and it really is.
Yeah.
So in case somebody's listening that did not get the scoop on this, these are affluent people who have somehow been able to bribe or buy their way into something they wanted. So they're buying their way into changing their child's ACT or SAT test scores, which is scary.
Yeah.
Because other kids that might have earned it outright, no, somebody just got moved ahead because their dad bought a better score.
Yeah, and it's also, it's troubling to me that there's a way to do that, right?
Yeah.
I think we like to think that our systems are you know, really tight and don't allow for scandals like that. Yeah. So to find out not only college admission, but also you know, SAT scores.
Well, I want to be careful because you and I absolutely love schools, colleges, educational institutions.
They're fantastic,
But among the ones that participate in this, evidently they could be bought. There was a way, because college is a business now.
Yeah.
Students are customers, or shall I say parents are customers sometimes.
Yes.
But we want to make sure we please the customer. In fact, I talked to a prof not long ago at a major state university who said he just had a student approach him after he made a poor grade on an exam and said, "My parents pay full tuition. I deserve a good grade."
Woo!
Yeah. So among the schools that have been cited for this, Georgetown, Stanford, UCLA, Yale, University of Texas at Austin, University of Southern California, and Wake Forest, and we work with some of those schools.
Yeah, that's so
I know
troubling.
They're not all full of bad apples, but somehow in the admissions process,
there's at least one person who is
that's given
complicit.
Way to gain $10,000, $50,000, whatever dollars they were able to make off of this. In fact, it was a total of $25 million between 2011 and 2019 that were wrongfully paid to a broker to give to a school to get this entrance exam taken care of and their child into the school of their choice. So quite amazing. It's bribing and buying our way into what we want is what it is.
When you immediately think of that, I mean, how do you react to news like that? Is it worry and troubling? Is it, I see a trend here? Is it, I mean, how are we supposed to process information?
Yeah,
like that?
I try not to find a demon under every bush, you know, that this is always a pattern here. It may be one-off, but I have seen over the last decade a pattern more and more of parents, and I'm going to talk about this in a minute, what they do to just ensure they're going to get an outcome. It's controlling the outcomes. That's what we want to do.
Yeah.
And we've grown up in a very entitled day, all of us, not just kids, where we feel entitled to what we want. If we got money, we just control those options and we seem to get more options but with our money.
And I think the reality is, and I think we're about to talk about this, is that I don't have $20 million floating around. I know that might come as a surprise to you. A lot of us don't.
Yeah.
But I still think each of us still has a similar mentality if we could figure out a way to you know, buck the system, to hack the system, and get something without maybe having to work for it or ensure a certain outcome, we're going to do that, I think, in our day.
Yeah, we are into strategic thinking. We've even taught our kids to be missional and purposeful. And part of that is, well, let's take a shortcut.
Yeah.
If we can get to the same goal, the end justifies the means. And it's really about the product, not the process. And of course, these kids that had their dad buy their way into Georgetown or whatever, were more into the product than the process. And the kids may be the victims. Mm. We'll talk about that at the end.
That's good. Well, I know that kind of the goal here is for us to talk about what are the signs of the times. Why are things like the gold, high gold, and this scandal, and so many other things that we see are happening? Why are these things happening? So I know we want to talk about that.
Yeah. So Andrew, what I've got here is not unlike a blog post we released, and it's called Four Signs of the Times. I think there are four words that describe what I see happening among parents. Whether or not we're from higher SES situations, but these four words I want to share, I think are very, very telling. And I would just encourage listeners to listen to these words, listen to Andrew and I talk about them, and just evaluate yourself. Am I guilty of this thinking or this desire even, when really that's going to make my kid the victim?
That's good.
Okay. So shall we jump in?
Let's do it. Number one.
All right. So there's four. Number one, priority number one is the word control. So I've written before about the increasing numbers of parents who feel overwhelmed by so many realities in our world today that they've determined they're going to control the one reality they can, and that's their kids.
Yeah.
So we're in much more of a controlling mindset than we were, again, when I was growing up with my mom and dad. It wasn't que sera, sera, but it was much more, I'm sorry that happened. You didn't make the team, or you didn't get to start on the team, or you made a C instead of an A. And then they said, work harder. You know, that was kind of old school. But today, I feel like parents are so overwhelmed that we're saying, I'm just going to control everything we can. And so we see this, of course, in club sports. We see it on the Little League field with a dad going ballistic on a ball field when really he just needs to settle down and let the coach coach the team.
Yes.
We see it in theater recitals, club sports, I mentioned already, Little League teams, college entrance exams now. And so it's a little scary that when things really are out of our control, we still want to make them in our control.
That's so good.
Andrew, I would love for you to do this, because I'm doing a lot of talking here. One of our new habitudes, relatively new habitudes, is called three buckets.
Yeah.
If we get it wrong on those three buckets, we really create emotional messes.
So true.
Do you mind just sharing with the listeners what those three buckets represent and how we need to handle them?
Yeah, it's about assessing and making good decisions, thinking through and addressing anxiety. But ultimately, what we say is that every decision, every reality that you face in your life, you need to put in one of three buckets. It's actually, if it's going to fit naturally in one of three buckets. The first one is in my control.
Yeah.
And there are lots of decisions that we make that are in our control.
Yeah.
The second one is out of my control. I don't control that situation at all. And the third is sort of a hybrid, but the idea is it's within my influence.
Yeah.
So I'm not in control of it, but there are some things I could do to influence the outcome. And one of the things I love that you say when we talk about this is most of our stress and anxiety, our desire for controlling situations and going too far comes from putting things in the wrong bucket.
Yeah. Yeah, we create messes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, yeah, to go to this college entrance exam, you've got parents who are taking something that technically fits in the within my influence bucket, and they're putting it in the within my control bucket, or thinking that it should fit in the within my control bucket, which is obviously causing some disaster there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In fact, the obvious responses are, if it's in my control, I need to take responsibility.
Yep.
If it's out of my control, I just need to trust the process, knowing that some things in life don't work out exactly the way I want them to.
Yep.
And instead of acting like spoiled brats, we've got to say, sweetheart, this didn't work out, but let's, you know, another college is just as good. It really is.
Yeah.
This is not just about branding, you know, and talking about the college that my son got into at the country club, you know. So anyway, so I feel like we've got to handle the buckets right.
So good. Yeah. And I feel so bad, I think, for parents today. One of the things that's happened, and I know that you've seen this, is in some ways, I think for parents, they've had what we would call a quote unquote good parent redefined for them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think there was a time where a good parent did things right, raised their kids right, and then send them out into the world. And today, I think the definition of good parent is control the outcomes and control the inputs and the outcomes and make sure you get what you want out of the situation. And so for a lot of parents, they're probably afraid, if I don't do some of this controlling stuff, the other parents around me are going to go, what a horrible parent they are, you know?
You're right.
And we just need, I think we need to do work to redefine that.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely, we
do. So good.
Good. All right, so the second priority, priority one is control. Priority two is contrive. I'm seeing a pattern as we meet with parents and teachers with schools. So bottom line here is, sometimes in order to control the outcomes and consequences, we feel we need to cheat a little bit. Maybe a little white lie, perhaps a little money is exchanged, and maybe a lot of money is exchanged. And we feel vindicated about doing this when we think about the goal. Our child gets to go to the college of their choice. Daddy, I want to go to Yale. Daddy, I want to go to UCLA or whatever it is. And we obviously at this point, Andrew, believe that the end justifies the means. Mm. Yeah, I did a bribe. I paid a bribe, but we got what we wanted. And isn't that the bottom line, the key? So we contrive the story. That's my word there. That we tell, we exaggerate a test score, we exaggerate our kids' accomplishments, and we know it's not true, but, you know, that our child really wasn't a Division I tennis champion like one dad lied about, but we got what we wanted, and again, like I said, it makes for great conversations at the country club out in the golf course.
It actually, I mean, it's sort of the classic ends justify the means situation.
Really, yeah.
And you know what I thought of immediately is that statistic we read from Christian Smith out at Notre Dame, where he did a whole bunch of research and found that 3 out of 4 kids admit to cheating to get their way through college. I wonder where they learned that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they learned it from moms and dads who said, you know what, the ends justify the means. Yeah. So if you walk out of college with a, you know, a 3.8 GPA or whatever and that piece of paper, then whatever you had to do to get there is worth it, ultimately.
Yeah, but you and I both know, as we work with employers, it ends up showing up eventually when dad or mom can't intrude or intervene, and that young professional is not ready to be a young professional.
You can't cheat your way through life.
That's right, yeah.
There are certain things that require work, that require effort, that require you to do the job. You know?
And integrity.
Yeah.
If we've not learned it in the first 18 years, are we going to suddenly pick it up at 21, I don't know.
I don't think so either.
So the contriving thing is happening. And again, I would just ask you listeners to, am I exaggerating stories? Am I just stretching things just to make it feel better? Do we not live in a day of social media where the appearance is everything? So we can post an Instagram photo and it looks good and that's all that really matters, and that's the contrived thing. Mm. Okay, do we not filter our photos?
Yeah, you know? So true.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the number three.
Yeah, the third sign of the times, I think, priority three, is conceal. Mm. So control, contrive, conceal. And I think this third reality really is a natural consequence of the first two. If we choose to control the outcomes and we contrive stories and facts, we automatically are forced to conceal the truth. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? Honesty is no longer an option. I can't do all that and then say, well, they actually went into, they got to Grossmont Junior College, not to Yale, you know? What's sad is these parents above even concealed what they did from their kids. The reports we read about this story about the college scandal is the kids didn't even know mom and dad were doing this. So they thought they got into Georgetown on their own merits.
Wow.
And instead, no, sweetheart, you didn't. So this story now makes it around. Oh, did you know this Hollywood actress's daughter is now at such and such a school? Wow.
She's sitting in class right now.
Yeah, that's right.
And her friends are getting the...
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah.
I didn't actually know that about this.
Yeah, it's such that it's just a distortion that's gone viral.
Yeah.
And again, I just keep seeing the kids as the victims of this. We think it looks good and it's going to work well, but we just end up hiding and hiding and hiding more.
Yeah. Well, I think we all know because of social media that distorting reality is a very normal part of our world today.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, maybe this is a stretch to say, but if you're regularly editing your Instagram posts, or I remember we had an intern a couple years ago who was showing us photos of her friend who, you know, used this filter that made her boyfriend look buffer on the thing, you know. And if you continue to do some of that, then reality distortion starts to feel more normal rather than strange. Ultimately, the people who pay the price, again, are our kids.
Yeah.
This girl who's sitting in class and all of a sudden realizes she didn't earn it.
That's right.
Or the kid who, you know, cheats their way through college, gets the job, and realizes, I've not actually gotten practice in how to work hard and complete a project because I cheated my way through. So reality distortion, I think, may be becoming normalized to us, but eventually we're going to pay the price for that because you can't distort reality forever.
There's a number of social scientists that I have read that have said the very thing you just said. It's eventually going to catch up. It's better when the stakes are lower and their children to do it right, produce a good child that's honest and has integrity, and now whatever they face, at least they've been honest so far. I can just imagine a freshman student of one of these families that have done this shows up at Yale, and they're suddenly realizing, I am not ready for this school at all.
Yeah.
What did Dad do all through my, you know, well, he bought your way.
Yeah, and pretended you were great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
could I tell a quick story?
Please, please do.
I was with some great students yesterday, and I was telling my wife last night, I was like, I have reality distorted for me a little bit because so many of the times that you and I go out and work with students, we're with the group of student leaders in the school, and they're amazing. But I met this young lady who lived in a distortion-free reality. And the story that she had told me, she's a junior in high school now, and she said at the beginning of that year, she had applied to be the drum major, or majorette, I guess, and she didn't get it. She said it was devastating, and she basically went through a three-month period where she was trying to decide, am I even going to be a part of band?
Wow.
Because everybody knew I would try it out for it, and now I'm going to be embarrassed being a part of this band that I'm not the head of anymore. And you know what she decided was, I'm going to stick it through. I'm going to serve.
Wow.
I'm going to be a part of this. She said her role changed slightly, and she reapplied, retried out for it this year, and guess what? She got it.
Wow.
And I think that mindset is so different from a lot of the kids that we have today. When you haven't distorted reality, kids realize failure's not the end. I got to work for stuff. She's going to be so much more ready for an institution like Georgetown if she can get into it, you know?
It sounds, too, like she learned to delay gratification.
So true.
A year later, she gets it, but she earned it rather than I want it now and I'm going to figure out a way.
Well, thanks for letting me sidetrack. I just thought of that girl and thought such a contrasting picture of what we're seeing.
Yeah.
All right, let's do number four.
The last one. So the priorities in this new day are control, contrive, conceal. The last one is compete. Mm. I mentioned this earlier already in this podcast, but it seems like today too many parents are in this silent competition with each other to get the latest portable device, the latest nice car for our 16-year-old child. You get the idea, but this competition is not healthy. I'm for competition. I'm for healthy competition between colleagues at work or athletes on the team or whatever. But this is a competition that again ends up with our kids as the victims. I mentioned this earlier, but when I was a kid, the entire neighborhood raised me. I felt like I had 12 parents. You know, my neighbors, next door neighbors. Now it's like, well, think about this. Now a child does something wrong, another neighbor or teacher chews out that kid. That parent might very well chew out the other adult who was trying to help the process. You can't do this to my child. It's almost our child is our trophy.
Yeah.
And we think it's a reflection on me if they did something wrong. So I'm going to make sure I retaliate. I talk to teachers who tell me my worst headache is not the teenager in the school.
Yep.
It's the parent.
Yep, I've heard that so many times.
Yeah, it's so sad.
Yeah.
So the competition thing, I guess we're competing against other parents for whose child is first string in the band or, who's first string in the, you know, football team. And I'm going, who cares?
Yeah.
Let's build people who are ready for the future. That is artificial. And Andrew, we released a book years ago called Artificial Maturity. They look like the mature, but we stripped it away because it was all virtual.
Yep.
It wasn't real.
They're very intelligent,
yeah,
but they don't have a lot of those soft skills,
yeah,
built,
that's
because,
right,
of that.
Yeah, the experiences,
well,
they
this
need.
Is, yeah, I mean, it's painful to watch a parent live vicariously through their kid.
Yeah.
And I think this is an issue we've got,
yeah,
to address. Will you go back through that list one more time?
Yeah,
I think it
absolutely
would be, I just want to make sure we get these. They're alliterated, so hopefully they're,
yes,
easy to remember. But I'd love for,
yes,
you to just touch on them real quick.
I'm a true communicator with alliterating.
Indeed
here.
Indeed you are.
All right. So wrong priority one is control the outcomes. I think we need to influence the outcomes. That's nothing wrong with that.
Yep, but we're putting them in the wrong bucket.
Yeah, that's right. Number two is contrive. So if we've decided we're going to control, we start contriving the realities like this. My child's SAT score wasn't what it should be. I want it to be 1450 or whatever. So I'm going to buy my way to get the score I want. Well, that's just not how life works.
Yeah.
So contriving is wrong. Conceal. Now I've got to hide stuff that is real and true for this lie to be perpetuated and Georgetown or Yale to be in the future, and then finally compete. Ultimately, maybe the compete thing is really the problem.
Yeah.
Because we're in such a competition, we're not satisfied with University of Georgia. It's got to be,
yeah,
you know, Yale.
Something
whatever.
Amazing, because,
yeah,
my neighbor's,
right,
kid got,
yeah,
into that school, and so.
So, Andrew, this was all reminiscent of something that happened a decade ago.
Yeah.
As I'm reading this data, I'm thinking to myself, in Atlanta, Georgia, the city where we live, there was a scandal in 2009,
yeah,
called the Atlantic Public Schools scandal. And if you remember, the trial went on in 2014, 2015, but several educators, administrators, and teachers went on trial for cheating on tests. What they did was they received the tests that their students had turned in, standardized tests,
yes,
and they were erasing answers and putting in the right answers. And they were mixing it up. They were not stupid, but enough happened that the people watching said, something's not right here. And sure enough, it was the adults, not the kids, who had cheated on the test. And once again, let me just point this out before we close. In the end, the students who probably shouldn't have been moved up got moved up thinking they'd scored well, and they became the victims the very next year.
Yep.
So we adults who do it wrong, who lack integrity, have actually hurt the chances of our students really turning out to be good adults.
So good.
Yeah.
If we as leaders want them to succeed, we have to differentiate ourselves from them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They're their own person. I'm raising a future adult.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
Not just a kid.
Yeah.
Not a trophy for me, mm-hmm, that I'm putting on my shelf,
yeah,
but I'm trying to help them have the best life possible,
yeah,
and succeed.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, this is so good, Tim. As you're listening to this, I know Tim and I were talking about this thing, and we just kept coming back to a book he wrote about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's one called 12 Huge Mistakes Parents Can Avoid. Mm-hmm. And it's really all about the challenge of parenting in the 21st,
yeah,
century. And I'm telling you, it could not be more adequate, more useful, more helpful for this moment, I think, that, mm-hmm, we're in. Of us really asking, what are we doing as we're raising our kids to make sure that they're going to become the best version of themselves,
yeah,
not some false version, yeah, of what we want them to be. So
yeah,
that's a really fantastic book, 12 Huge Mistakes Parents Can Avoid. You can find it on our website, growingleaders.com, if that's interesting to you. Thanks for listening. As always, if you would rate this podcast, that really helps get the word out about what we're doing here on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. 5 stars would be appreciated. Connect with us on social media as well. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, so we'd love to connect with you there, at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. And then lastly, if you got ideas for the podcast or people you want us to interview, news stories you think we should talk, mm-hmm, about, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those and hearing from you. Tim, thanks for leading us in this really vital, a little bit sober conversation, but so important. Appreciate your wisdom and leadership on that. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.